We move on to Dr. George Müller, who is the Chief Executive Officer of Kistler Aerospace Corporation. In 1963, he was asked to join NASA, where he was responsible for the Gemini, Apollo, and Saturn programs as NASA Associate Administrator for Manned Space Flight. George Müller is also the originator of Skylab. He is the author of the Post-Apollo Plan, an integrated program of space utilization and exploration. Dr. Müller served as president of the International Academy of Astronautics from 1982 to 1997, and now he's going to speak about the K-1 reusable aerospace vehicle, reducing the cost of access to space. Please, Dr. Müller.
Thank you very much indeed, and it's a pleasure to be here this evening. I must say that listening to the previous speakers, at least there seems to be a consensus arriving that reusable launch vehicles are, in fact, the way to go. And since I've held that view ever since we started the shuttle program, I'm glad we're finally catching up with it. There are many plans and things going on, but in this instance, I think that I would like to talk about what we're actually doing to produce such a reusable launch vehicle. Some 3 years ago, we started the design of the K-1 vehicle, and with the idea of trying to reduce the operating costs to the same extent that we reduce the cost of producing the vehicle. I think one thing we ought to recognize is that if you want to have a completely reusable vehicle, the initial costs are going to be higher because you need to build in the reliability and the ruggedness that you need to have completely reusable vehicles. In our case, we also wanted to use the simplest possible technology because at least my experience has been that if it's simple enough, you might be able to make it fly reliably. And so we went to through a number of iterations, came up with the final configuration you see here. It's a two-stage vehicle, completely reusable. The first stage uses three Mk-33 engines, which were developed by the Russians for their lunar program and have been in storage for the last almost 30 years. They are the best LOX kerosene engines I know of and the best thrust-to-weight ratio available today. The first stage takes the vehicle to about 130,000 feet. At that point, the two stages separate. The first stage turns around, restarts its center engine, and returns to the launch site. It lands on parachutes and airbags and takes about 6 minutes to complete its cycle. The second stage goes on into orbit. It uses an Mk-43. LOX kerosene engine, which again was developed as the second stage for the Russian lunar program. That stage reaches orbit and reaches a transfer orbit, I should say. The final orbital circularization is with a second engine, which is a LOX alcohol engine. That, once in orbit, the payloads are separated. The vehicle stays there. The second stage stays in orbit for 24 hours or thereabouts, and then it deorbits and returns to the launch site and lands on parachutes and airbags again. This operation was designed to reduce as much as possible the operating costs. So we have redundant systems throughout the vehicle in terms of avionics. We have a completely autonomous operation, so that there are no requirements for communications or control from the ground. And the health monitoring system is one that also provides for the equivalent of range safety by requiring the vehicle to run within a certain set of parameters that assure that it will not go off course and have a problem. One of the key things we did was to try to make the whole vehicle as safe as possible. For that reason, we went to LOX kerosene for both stages of operation. It costs you a bit in performance, but it simplifies the whole process of processing the vehicles, and it eliminates much of the problems associated with explosions that you have with a LOX hydrogen, for example. The next slide talks a little bit about what we hope to achieve, or what we set out to achieve with the vehicle. Because we're using parachutes and airbags, the parachute has one disadvantage, and that is that once it's deployed, you're at the mercy of the winds, the local winds. So the actual landing footprint is about a 6,000-foot circle, about a mile diameter circle for its landing. We did that as a trade-off in order to minimize the complexity of the vehicle itself. The launch rate we've set out for is a minimum of 52 launches per year from a single site. And this we expect to be able to accomplish with two vehicles. We are actually building five vehicles, though, so that we have a fair amount of redundancy in the vehicles themselves. Service life is designed for 100 flights. The engines themselves require more frequent maintenance. In fact, they run about 20 flights per engine. I've talked about health monitoring. Reliability, we've gone to rather extreme extents to keep the vehicle flying. And I think a key is the autonomous control, because it avoids having any appreciable number of people in the support structure on the ground. Next. What we're aiming at in terms of cost for payloads is shown here. I should say price for payloads, because we do have the capability of flying for our actual costs are substantially less than our prices because of the reusability. But on the other hand, as a business enterprise, one has to recover the non-recurring costs. And so we've built that into the structure of our costing. As you can see, we're far above the $500 per pound that Boeing was quoting as their objective, but we are in the $1,500 per pound range, and I think that will be attractive enough for the near term to make us competitive. Well, we hope to have our first reusable vehicle flight test begin in the middle of next year, and so we're looking forward to a full year ahead and some more real progress. Thank you all very much.